From San Antonio, this is the Reverend Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, The Church of the Soul's Evolution. The sun has gone down. There's still a little bit of light left in the sky. And I'm here in my back patio as usual. And welcome to my show. I hope that I only plan on doing about 30 minutes because I'm kind of tired from being busy all day today. And it's not easy all the time talking for 55 minutes straight, if you know what I mean. But I'm hoping to give you some good information, share some information I learned from other people within that 30 minutes. And then afterwards, there'll be 30 minutes of music, some new agey kind of music. Let me begin by saying I am someone who prays all the time. And you may have heard that before. The Bible says that we should pray constantly, all the time. And I believe that's true. And one of the reasons is because when we pray, we're praying to what we consider to be an invisible force, right? We're assuming that our prayers are being heard. And we might not get what we want, but we get what we need. And so whenever we pray, whether in the morning, afternoon, evening, at all times during the day, we are actually strengthening our faith. It's kind of like when you lift weights. After a while, you begin to develop muscle, you know. That exercise is helping you. It's the same way with praying, too. And that's one of the challenges of being born into this world, to keep our communication open with our higher power, the mother and father God, the creator of the universe, who are living in kind of an invisible realm. But believe me, as sure as you are going to die and I am going to die, you will see them. And you'll have a life review. And it might be in the presence of your mother and father God. And I like to say this constantly. I like to reinforce what I believe in and say that, of course, there is a mother God, because as in heaven, it is the same here on earth, or as in this planet, it is the same in heaven. You need a male and a female to create children. We are the children of our mother and father God. Our souls and spirits were born on that world of light over there in the distance, 93 million miles away. Our souls and spirits were born on a sun. It might not be this sun of this solar system. If you're a mystic traveler, an old soul, you could have been born on another sun, even in another galaxy, my friends. And so we're born into this world. It's an incredibly beautiful world, but it is one of the most difficult schools of learning in the university of the universe. We're living on a planet that is not our home. We are from the spirit world. We are spirits in the material world. When you sleep at night, your spirit leaves your body. That's called your astral being. And it goes to places, it refreshes itself, it solves problems, comes back in. So we are, and there are like a couple of other bodies, psychotypical, so there's a fluidic body, there's a few different bodies that make up the human being. And when we pray, therefore, we strengthen that faith, and it increases. And when we need that faith in times of trouble, and you know that it's not a matter of if, but when something goes wrong, something happens, and we need to draw upon that faith, how we have built up that faith will help us to get through it, you know, kind of like a storm passing over. It'll rain on us, but we know that it will pass over and there will be better times. For example, my wife and I and my stepdaughter were on our way to help prepare for the election polling station. We've got that part-time job where twice a year, usually, we go and set up the polling station on election day here in San Antonio. And so I think we were on our way to set up the building the day before, and my wife ran over a curb in our 2019 Toyota Highlander. And I've run over some curbs before, and I'm sure maybe you have too. But the tire, the next day the tire was getting low and I had to put air in it. The left front tire just were, we ran over the curb to begin with, and all four tires actually went over this curb. I don't know why they put a curb right there in the middle of the road. It serves no purpose, but oh my God, that's the way it is. And so it turned out that it had a nail in the tire, but I took it to the dealership, and running over the curb, it actually, the bumper had hit the curb and pushed it up into the radiator and the condenser, and they had to be replaced. $3,300 later, the car was repaired, but that's just one example of how our faith will get us through situations, you know, that challenge our faith. And sometimes we say, like, why, God, why? Why do these things happen? And as I mentioned, it's not really a question of if, but when something like that, or maybe we lose a family member or a friend, or someone's sick or injured, we draw upon that faith. And to build up that faith, we pray constantly. And it helps, of course, to know who you're praying to. As I was saying, we have a mother and father God. And Jesus taught us to pray, our Father. We really should have said our mother and father in heaven. But that is evidence that we are the children of the Father God and the Mother God. Wait till you see them. The Mother God has her own throne right next to the Father God. And she is very beautiful. As beautiful, I mean, you'll be shocked by the beauty of the Mother God. Unfortunately, in this world, women are not treated fairly. I mean, the mothers of our children who help us, not only do we grow inside their bodies, but then when we're born, they change our diapers, they feed us, they bandage our wounds, and they nurse us through life until we're able to stand on our own and we're able to take responsibility for our actions. And then in some places around the world, they're treated worse than animals. They have to wear covers over their face, when in fact they should be put on a pedestal and revered for the co-creators with God that they are. Imagine men out there, having a baby growing inside your body. You can't. It's impossible to imagine that. But that's what women do. And they have not got their rights over the years, as you know. They've only just recently, like within the last 100 years, I think it was 1926, they got the right to vote. And now they're fighting for the equality. In my opinion, our world would be a better place if we had more female leadership. More female leadership. Let me explain why. Because women are less likely to send their sons and daughters off to wars. And don't you know, don't lie to me, you know that we've had so many wars before in the past. And it goes on and on. Even now there are wars constantly. Ukraine, Gaza Strip, over 60,000 Palestinians killed, men, women, and children. Women in leadership positions are less likely to send their beautiful sons and daughters to fight for no reason, no good reason, no justification for killing someone, my friends. There is none. And so with more female leadership in the world, there would be less war and more peace. And does anybody out there want peace? If you want war, I suggest you pick up your weapon and you go to the front line. There's some front lines out there, and you can go ahead and buy yourself a one-way ticket to God's jail beneath the surface of the earth, my friends. And I guarantee you, if you take someone's life, more than likely, unless you repent, you'll be going to hell. However, it has been a patriarchal society for thousands of years. It has failed. It isn't working. Even today, look at Putin, you know, even though I like him, he's a good man, but how many people are dying in Ukraine? How many people are dying in the Gaza Strip? How many other wars will pop up in the future, the near future? How many more people is it going to take before you out there change your mind about war? All these boats that are being blown up, people killed indiscriminately without verifying the facts. without showing the American people the evidence that they are indeed drug traffickers. And even if they were drug traffickers, what about a trial? What about the people that take the drugs? Do they have freedom or don't they have freedom? If they want to drink a bottle of whiskey and kill themselves that way, they have the freedom to do it. If they want to take a drug and overdose, they have the freedom to do that. Now, the parents and the friends don't like that, but you know it's all about freedom and doing things your own way. That's why there's so many problems nowadays. It's because we're all meddling in each other's business. What people do behind their own closed doors is their business. And if they want to take drugs, if they want to smoke tobacco, if they want to drink a bottle of whiskey or vodka or rum or gin, whatever, and kill themselves that way, then they're free to do so. You should know by now, we are co-creator gods in the making, and you can't tell people to do anything, really. Even our parents. I mean, we're responsible to them. We're under their influence for the first at least 17, 18, maybe 21 years of our lives. And then usually we want to move away, right? Because we don't want to be told what to do. We could be rebellious like I was when I was younger. And I finally realized after many years before my parents died that they were my best friends. And we bonded in a way that we had never bonded before. It was a good thing. And I really loved my parents when they were here. They took good care of me. They are your best friends, whether you realize it now or not. Eventually, I think you will, and I hope you will. So respect them. But again, you need to do things your own way. I recognize that. And if you want to take drugs, you should be allowed to see it. If you like it, if you do, do it again. If it takes you down the path where you're destroying yourself and you want to destroy yourself, then you have the right to do so. People die in war all the time. Of course, they didn't ask for that. Some don't ask for it, but some do. Some do pick up a weapon and go to the front line because for some reason, unbeknownst to maybe them or their family, they're satisfying some kind of primal urge within themselves, and that's what they need to do. Maybe they're directed by God. Things happen for mysterious reasons God works. The mother and father God work in incredibly, I'll use the word mysterious again, ways that we don't quite understand. But it's all good. Getting back to prayer. Now, what if I was to tell you that your prayers really do work? You would say, well, give me some evidence, you know, like, if I was to ask you, do you believe in UFOs and ETs? And you would say, well, not until I can see one, you know, and touch it and meet an extraterrestrial, will I believe in them. I've talked before taking a drink about bridging the gap between belief and knowledge through faith, through evidence that might not be concrete per se, but it's logic, really, that what bridges the gap between belief and knowledge. So E.T. might land in your backyard. You go out and touch a spacecraft, shake his hand, look into his eyes, and now you know that they really do exist. They're really out there. But until that happens, all you've got are the stories that you read online, people that say maybe they have seen a flying saucer. Jimmy Carter, former president, saw one along with 10 other people. Now, with prayer, how do we know prayers work? Well, according to my research, when we go to heaven, and you will go eventually, you might stick around here, you might be a ghost, walk the surface of the earth, not knowing that you're dead, actually dead, like some who are mostly those who are killed violently and suddenly, or the murderers and the rapists and the non-believers. The verbal abuses, sexual abuses, physical abuses, they go down to darker regions, maybe possibly all the way down to that area in the center of the earth known as hell, with all the lava beds and all that terrible stuff down there and demons. But then there's above the clouds, when your body, your spirit rises up and goes to above the clouds, that's like the lowest heaven. The highest heaven is 93 million miles away. And there in heaven, you'll see it looks just like Earth. The spirit body is awesome. It looks just like your physical body, but it's transparent and translucent. Light goes through it. It has all the colors of the rainbow. Your facial characteristics are very similar. The spirit is configuring. In other words, you could be an old person, get to heaven, go through the in process and the orientation, and you would change how you look from being old to young in the spirit. The age 30 mold is the most common age. So you look young, your teeth will be perfect, your vision will be perfect, you won't need any glasses if you had glasses. You're young, vibrant. So it's the age 30 mold that we transfigure, that we resort to. We can look in different ways too. We can change our spirit to resemble other things as well without going into all the details. So in other words, the spirit is configurable, if you know what I mean. Well, there in heaven, as I was saying, it's very beautiful. There's mountains and rivers and the trees of life with the fruit and the river of life, you know, and you can go down into the water. Of course, you can't drown because you're already dead. You're a spirit. You're a live spirit. And that is the real you. Earth is not our home. The sun is our home. This is a planet. And there are many other planets around the universe. And through the process of reincarnation from one life to the other, you will perfect your soul's evolution, get to that point where you have achieved a state of perfection. And so then we'll be able to create your own solar system in the universe, the infinite universe, whose borders are constantly expanding as we speak. And you will then, with your soulmate, create the sun, planets, and have your own spirit children. But there in heaven, again, there's causeways, there's roads paved in gold, which looks transparent, silver everywhere, precious stones, pearl, the walls of pearl, the gates of pearl are there, angels everywhere. There'll be a remembering when you get back to heaven. You remember before you were born that you were there, before you were born that you were there. Angels everywhere, all kinds of different angels, archangels, seraphims, cherubims, different types of angels, angels with no wings. And there are many beautiful structures there in heaven, Greek architecture, Roman architecture, beautiful buildings, and like made of not only pearl, but also marble and crystal everywhere, and fountains and flowers everywhere, and flowers that you've never even seen before on here on Earth. Flowers, and they look alive. You walk past them, and they turn, they look at you because they're like, they're living. They don't talk, but they communicate kind of telepathically. And you'll see the patriarchs of the Bible, the disciples, people from all different cultures throughout the centuries are up there. So it's all one family, one big family of human beings that lived on this world that actually walked. Do you know that at one time, people that used to walk on this earth like we are doing right now believed that the world was flat? And then Columbus proved, no, that we went across the ocean. We didn't fall off. It just keeps going on and on, the horizon, you know, and the earth is round. And then Copernicus said, no, the earth is not at the center of the universe. We're revolving around our sun, which is revolving around the center of the Milky Way galaxy, which is revolving around the center of the universe. Those people, and there were some intelligent people, souls just like us, lived back then, but they were mistaken in their belief that the world was not flat, that the world was flat, and mistaken in the belief that we are at the center of the solar system, excuse me, the universe. And now we're in the same kind of situation. Here we are walking on the earth, humanity, people, 7 million billion people living here on this planet who still don't know for sure that there is life elsewhere in the universe. And indeed there is, my friends, because if you believe that in all this life that we have here on earth was created by accident and not by a creator, then logically, and I use the word logically, either this same life or different life could happen by accident anywhere in the universe. And you know, discovering more and more planets each and every day, right? The Kepler Space Telescope, the James Webb Space Telescope. So that's a no-brainer. There are other planets out there. Some are Earth-like. In other words, if life here happened by accident, life could happen by accident on some of those planets. Life may be like in ways that we can't even comprehend, right? So there is life out there, but we have to bridge that gap between belief and knowledge. I'm going to do it on time. Okay, 622. Now, the point, I'm going to tell you a story. There was a man, and my taking a drink. What I want to prove is that prayer really does work. Now, you might not get what you want. I mean, if you pray to win the lottery, sometimes it won't be good for you, and the powers that be will not allow it because it could be detrimental to your mission here on Earth. Because we do have missions. When we're born in this world, we're supposed to follow those missions. You know, we go down the road, go to the left, to the right, doesn't matter. Point is, try to stay on track. I mean, you can have some deja vu and think, you know, like for example, me, I'm 71 years old, and then I see something and I say, wow, I remember that, or I remember that person. How is that possible? It's because you were in heaven one time in the spirit world, and you looked into the book of life, and you saw, it's very complicated, but in other words, you are where you're supposed to be. As long as you're a faith-filled person, and you pray to Mother and Father God and the creator of the universe, you will stay on track. But the mission that you were given before you were born is what we need to complete. To successfully graduate from this existence to a higher existence, you need to fulfill your mission that was given to you by either the mother or father God, depending on whether you're a male or female spirit. And indeed, you stood before the father God or the mother God, and they talked to you and said, this is what I want you to do during your life. You think you can finish it? You know, you'll have help. You can always call on angels. You can always pray for help. So this story I wanted to tell you is about a man who was a mechanic for semi-trucks. And one day he was getting ready to leave, and he was already past his time. And his fellow co-worker asked him if he would be so kind to look underneath his truck to see if there was an oil spill or where an oil leak was in the engine of a semi. So he crawled underneath the semi, identified that there was a leak, asked him to turn off the engine. So the man got up, his co-worker got up into the cab. As he did, the truck shifted, and it was already precariously balanced on these jacks. So he was underneath. His name is Bruce Vanetta. Check out the YouTube video. It's really incredible. So it slipped off the jacks, and a five-ton axle crushed his midsection right where his stomach is and went all the way down to the cement and crushed his backbone, his spine. And when that happened, he said a quick prayer, Lord, help me. Twice he said it, Lord, help me. And that's all you got to do. Later, as he was getting ready to go down the tunnel, he went up to the ceiling and looked down at everything that was happening. He saw the firefighters that was out in the country, and they didn't have a proper fire department. They had volunteers. And they came in through one door, and then finally two came in through another door. And 1 year later, after he'd gone through many surgeries, he was able to identify. He went back to thank them for their help, and he was able to identify each and every one. And the two that came into the back door, he identified them, and they asked them, why did you come into the back door? They said, well, we overshot the place. We came around the side, and so then we came into the back door. And they said, how did you know that? He was physically dead. His heart had stopped beating. His eyes were closed. He was up in the ceiling. He saw it from up in the ceiling. And they were all flabbergasted that he would know that. He said that was the real him. The spirit was up in the ceiling. But then he went down the tunnel to that light millions of miles away. You know what I mean? And he was called back by one of the paramedics who was slapping his face and saying, Bruce Vanetta, come back. And they couldn't do CPR on him because his chest was crushed. My point is, though, he prayed and he saw a couple of angels, and they were putting his hands over his midsection where he'd been crushed. And that helped in his eventually being healed. My point is, your prayers are heard, as simple as they may be. That's a good example of every prayer is heard. And there is a room there in heaven. Excuse me, I'm going to take a drink. It's called the prayer room. There are angels that run it. Every prayer that you pray is recorded. Not only that, every second of your life is being recorded by heavenly computers. Don't laugh, please. Oh, I see a star. A star just appeared. It's getting dark. And if you only knew the power of your prayers and how they change things, if you only really, really knew. But it's not easy. You have to be a prayer warrior. You have to have strength. You have to have courage. You have to pray all the time. You hear about people praying for other people, changing things. You pray for me. I pray for you and watch God change things. That's a song that we have sung in church before. How am I doing on time? Okay, I've got 2 minutes left. All right, my friends, so prayer works. There was an example. You are heard. It's just that you need to build your faith up to believe that. And the more you pray, the stronger your faith is. Just like I said, exercising. The more you pray, the stronger your faith will be. Don't you want strong faith? It will get you through difficult times. It will help you. You got to know who you're praying to. Whether the creator of the universe is out there, that energy field like an aurora borealis with a head in the middle, an electric beam that is omnipotent and omniscient, or the mother and father God who went through like what we're going through now, living on other planets throughout the universe, going through that process of evolution and reincarnation one life after another until they achieve that level of perfection to where they can have their own solar system and have their own spirit children. And it's an amazing thing. It's going on, my friend, and you're part of it. It's an amazing reality that we are involved in here, a manufactured reality universe, because we are spirits in the physical universe. This is not who we really are. Anyway, one quick prayer before I say goodbye. Thank you for listening. I love you. Don't forget to replace hate with love. Whenever you see the opportunity, you see a lot of unkindness going on television, people that don't have a good thing to say about other people, and you know that's wrong. They won't graduate to a higher existence being that way, right? So, creator of the universe, you are out there. You are real. Lots of love to you. Thank you for your love. You know every hair on our head, how many hairs we have. You know how many grains of sand there are on every beach and planet Earth. And that is smart. That is really intelligent. You know what? Thank you, Creator, for our lives. So we can worship you and praise you and for eternity, because you're so worthy to be praised. The miracle of creation is worth praying or worth acknowledging and praying for, praising you, in other words, loving you. And praise is like a form of love, my friends. And the Creator is so worthy of our praise. And love is what makes the universe go around, my friends. Love will defeat hate. Keep up the good works. Hang in there. Keep the faith. Continue to pray. Believe in prayer. It really does work. I proved it to you. Bridge the gap between belief and knowledge with logic. Talk to you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.